Welcome to Home and Family Finance with Paul Barry. It's your family, it's your finances, and it's your future. Home and Family Finance is sponsored by the Defense Credit Union Council, serving those who serve our country, and by CUNA, the Credit Union National Association. Now, here's the host of Home and Family Finance, Paul Barry.
And hello, everyone. What a very special show for me, a special time for me. I have a wonderful guest in studio, and I will explain who she is and why she's here, and we'll talk about a lot of things that I think that will affect you, your decisions that you make about your personal finances. Over the years, 8 years, I don't think I've ever, maybe once or twice I've done a single guest on a show. And in this case, that's exactly what we're doing because of the person and the content and the character and the she's just a wonderful person. Her name is Lisa Van Susteren, and she is she's a psychiatrist. She went to school and went to the Sorbonne and graduated out of France. Just recently came back from a trip to Poland, I think, or that part of the world. She travels a lot. She's a mother of three grown children. I know those three children because they were about the same ages as my children. And so as a result, we found ourselves in the kindergarten class together saying hello many years ago. Dr. Lisa Van Susteren is, in her own right, a noted psychiatrist, well-respected. She has run for office, actually, for Senate, I think. And in this new world, she is very involved with an organization called the Moral Action for Climate Justice. Simply put, she cares about where we live and what we are doing to the climate. And for that reason, and because all of this somehow affects our pocketbook in terms of whether or not we have a climate a planet to live on, I've asked her to join us to talk about a lot of things. We won't have time to talk about everything, but we'll talk about as much as we can. And let me just at this point say to her, welcome, Dr. Lisa Van Susteren. It's a pleasure to have you here in the studio.
It's just delightful to be here with you, Paul. My buddy, my good friend. Just great to be here.
Thank you so much. I received a call, folks, and for full disclosure, a few weeks ago from Lisa saying, would you... I'm going to be down on the mall with the Pope, and I wonder if you'd like to be down. I said, are you kidding? I'm waiting for this invitation. And I was invited to come down and be the master of ceremony of this organization that was there at the day that the Pope actually addressed Congress. What was the purpose of that, and what did you, and I know you were keenly involved. It wouldn't have happened without your involvement. So talk to us a little bit about that.
Well, first of all, let me say we were so grateful that you gave your it was about a 5-hour event you gave, and everyone was just thrilled to have
you,
especially me. And Earth Day Network is very grateful to you also. So here, this was the event. The Pope was addressing Congress,
yes.
And I like to say that he knew exactly what he was doing when he came to the States. He did not come here as a tourist. He was on a mission, and he wanted to tell the U.S. Congress that they need to begin to look at their policies and inaction on climate change. And he was there to tell them that the world needs their leadership. I love my country. I'm speaking out for myself. I'm very patriotic. And I was very eager to capitalize on that moment to amplify the Pope's message by being right there on the mall backing that up.
And we were there, boy, big time. Thousands of people, in addition to the ones that were sitting up at, right on under the Capitol, we were on the mall, which was beautiful because people could come freely, walk in, and have a chance to listen to speaker after speaker. I thought it was remarkable that these people, you could feel the spirit, who wanted to say something. A couple of minutes each one. I think there were 80 or so because I had the pleasure not only of being the master of ceremony, but I was pushed at the last minute to be what's called the announcer or the voice of God. We should have gotten Al Peterson in there. He could have done that. But I ended up being the voice of God in announcing it, which I really enjoyed. It was, and I had to study real quickly. I was cramming for names. But there was something about this man that made these people want to be a part? What is it about it?
Well, he's a very engaging individual, and everything that he says has such a feeling of authenticity about it. His life has been led in a way that reflects his values. He's humble. He cares about people. He's deeply compassionate. He's a simple man. He's an individual who is ready to reach the world, even as a man of humility. Mm-hmm. He can also be a great leader. And that sort of authenticity, that goodness, and he also feels very real because there are some things that we don't agree with him about. But his judgment, his inclusiveness, and his leadership is something that everyone respects.
And folks, I got to tell you, as the master of ceremony, I looked out over the crowd and I did my own little poll, and probably maybe one out of every eight people might have been a Catholic that were there. I mean, they were. It was not majority. These were people there for a Catholic, the Pope, and they weren't Catholic. And some of them were agnostic. They didn't. It wasn't about religion.
It's wonderful. That's why we call him the People's Pope. Yeah. And it's very endearing. He has such a gentle way about him, even though he is so immensely popular and has so many people following him. One of the things that he says routinely to people is, pray for me. And he said, if you don't have a religion, then send me your best wishes. So this is the magnanimity, the reach, the grace of a really courageous individual.
A very interesting person indeed. We're talking about the visit of Pope, Pope Francis, when he came in September to spread his particular gospel. Dr. Lisa Van Susteren is my guest. When we come back, we'll talk more about that, because why we react to him the way we do, and whether his words will carry forth. You're listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My guest is Lisa Van Susteren, a noted psychiatrist, a practicing psychiatrist in the Washington area. And if you want to know more about her, you can simply go to her website or just Google her. You'll forget. There's a book about Lisa Van Susteren and what she's doing. We're talking about the importance of the September 24th visit of Pope Francis to the seat of world democracy. His visit was critically important, and this was his first and his only political event of the United States, and it was surprising that he confronted directly to this House of Congress. It was almost like the father coming in saying, "Now."
He knew exactly what he was doing. One out of about three in elected office on the Hill, one out of three people are Catholics. And he was very specific about what he expected from them. He told them that America is a country that was founded by immigrants. Immigrants came here. We should look at immigrants as people that we welcome. He said he himself was an immigrant to Argentina. So he said that this is a very important issue. He talked about the importance of financial income equality, looking out for the poor. And in his very famous now encyclical that was released in June called Laudato Si, which is praise to the Lord, he makes the point, hear the cry of the earth, hear the cry of the poor. Know that we have to look at what we are doing to the world and to the planet very consciously, and we have to make changes that reflect our value for life. And so he was telling them on that hill very pointedly, listen, guys, you got to end this logjam. You got to start writing policy that reflects a reverence for life.
It's interesting, isn't it, that he felt compelled to do this, because I think he probably recognized no one else has the capability or the power to do that. And Americans flocked to hear this man in Washington, D.C., New York, and Philadelphia. What is the psychology? What's going on here?
Well, for one thing, we recognize this guy is not a politician. So we know that everything that he is saying, he's saying it because he really believes it, and his life reflects it. So there's an automatic inclination to respond to this man's authenticity. And he radiates charm. He radiates warmth. I think it's well known by a lot of people who are into this kind of thing that he is really eschewed, foregone all of the trappings that the popes usually have. It's a silver ring instead of a gold one. He doesn't wear all the big capes. He doesn't wear the red shoes.
No.
He wears so he lives in a small apartment. Everything he does.
And he rides around in a Fiat.
And
he rides around in a Fiat, exactly. The imagery was phenomenal.
Right.
Here
yes.
were these huge limousines.
Yes.
And there is the Pope in the back seat of a Fiat.
A little baby Fiat driving underneath his airplane even.
So break him down. He knows what he's doing.
He knows exactly what he's doing. Precisely. This is a man who has worked with poor, with people who have felt disenfranchised, people who didn't get the long end of the stick. And he recognizes that when you don't hear about people like this or you don't see them, that you have to have your consciousness heightened. And that's exactly what he was doing here. He was doing this to raise the consciousness of people in power that they need to act for justice for all people.
Do you think his message resonated with Americans?
I absolutely do. First of all, there were just hundreds of press just crawling all over the place.
Yeah.
They were there because they know they're going to be able to sell a story.
Right.
So the answer is yes. I think people recognize that this message is going to get through to people by a messenger like that. That's the critical piece. You know, we can all talk sort of individually about how we need to have justice for all and we need to look at moral action on climate. We're hurting so many people. But when you have a messenger like that, that's an upstream place where it just reaches so great.
When we come back, we're going to talk to Dr. Lisa Van Susteren, my guest, noted psychiatrist, about from the financial aspect of this, of the changes that we need to make in terms of taking care of our climate and taking care of ourselves. We'll talk about that because it affects you directly. Your health situation, what are we doing in terms of our health, you know, in terms of how we treat the earth. There's so much to talk about with Dr. Lisa. We thank you for being with us. You're listening to Home and Family Finance here on Radio America. I'm Paul Berry, your host, and we'll be right back with more. Stay with us. You're listening to Radio America. I'm your host, Paul Berry, and we thank you for joining us. Our program sponsors, the Defense Credit Union Council, DCUC, and we thank them for their continued support of the program, and CUNA, the Credit Union National Association, CUNA, dedicated to making all of us smarter consumers. If there is a topic or a subject that you want to discuss, please write to me here, Paul Berry at Radio America, 1100 North Glebe Road, Suite 900, Arlington, Virginia, 22201, or you can contact me on my website at hffradio.com. And speaking of the Defense Credit Union Council and its member credit unions, they believe that financial readiness equals mission readiness and supports the efforts of Military Saves in their dedication to improving the financial well-being of our troops. Military Saves is a year-round campaign that seeks to motivate, support, and encourage military families to save money, to reduce debt, and to build wealth. As part of the Department of Defense's financial readiness campaign, Military Saves acts as a resource center for information on financial education and counseling. Check out its links to useful websites for military families where they can learn better money management and can find partners who can help military members achieve their financial goals. Military Saves. Set a goal, make a plan, save automatically. Go to militarysaves.org for more information and take the Savers Pledge today. And as we always remind you, you don't have to be in the military to save. Be smart. Wherever you are, save. Saving is important, folks, across the board. No one knows that any better than my special guest today, Dr. Lisa Van Susteren, who's in studio with us, joined together. We've known each other for years, but we were joined together because of the Pope's visit. And it reminded me of just how much his message has an impact on us individually in terms of what's going to happen to us, whether we're talking about health, we're talking about saving the planet, we're talking about any number of things, issues that he raised, Lisa, that do impact each and every one of us.
Absolutely. And his overarching message really is that we need to revere life on Earth, the planet, the environment, all of our resources. And you can probably subsume it under one sort of statement. Our friends at Avaaz have said this. If we just have 100% clean energy, that's what we need to do. And we need to call, I'm going to put a little bit of a plug, a political plug in there. And that is that when you go to vote in a year from now, ask the person who is up there, are you going to work for 100% clean energy? And if that person says no, move on to the next one. Doesn't matter what, an R, a D, doesn't matter. Right. We need
who's going to help you live?
That's correct. Who's going to help us clean up the planet? And, you know, I got some good stats for you. Do you know that the sun in 1 hour, if we captured all the sun's energy through solar power, we could power all our needs for 1 year, for 1 hour of tapping the sun's energy. We've got all the resources we need. We have wind power, the wind that we capture. I think it's something like 400 times over if we captured all the wind power, what we need in a year. 100% clean energy. It's beautiful. We don't need oil. We don't need gas. We certainly don't need coal. And that's where the real neck of the serpent is. It's that transition to clean, renewable energy.
Do you think, look into your psychiatric crystal ball, because you deal with people on a one-to-one basis. You know, there are still folks I hear that don't believe climate change is real. And nothing, you know. So where are we headed?
Okay, first of all, I would say that for those who are saying that they don't believe it, I actually don't believe them. I think that what's happening is that there are economic reasons or political reasons or face-saving reasons because they said they didn't believe it, now they can't change, whatever. But I really do believe that there are very, very few people who honestly, legitimately don't believe it. There's a vested interest in not believing it. So, and I also believe that people are pretty anxious about what's happening. I mean, we've seen the fires in California, the floods, the hot temperatures. I mean, you'd have to be living in a cave not to know that this stuff was going on. Yeah. That is deeply unnerving to people. And thankfully, there's solutions.
Yeah. There are solutions.
There are tons of solutions.
But we all have to be behind. I think it's going to have to be a concerted effort.
And we have to recognize, and this is what I do think is important, is just like kids will follow the lead of their parents. If their parents are smoking and drinking and hanging around a couch watching TV, well, you know, that's likely what you're going to bestow on your kids.
Yeah.
And what happens is that people look to our congressional, to our leaders, and ask them what they're doing. And until they're really motivated to do the right thing, I think there's going to be a lag in the populace. But the people are rising up now and saying, we want action.
Yeah, they are. And we'll talk more about how you motivate people, you know, to move in that direction.
Would love to, right.
Yeah,
sometimes people say, what is a psychiatrist doing in this business? It's the core of what we do, warning people about how their behaviors are going to affect them down the road. So this is an exact description of what we should be doing.
And we can go one-to-one because we can talk about health. If the planet isn't healthy, its people will not be healthy. Dr. Lisa Van Sutteren is my guest here on Home and Family Finance. When we come back, we'll talk more about things that I think affect your pocketbook, your home, and your family. I'm Paul Berry. Stay with us.
Safe, smart, and secure with your finances. Welcome back to Home and Family Finance with your host, Paul Berry.
So pleased to have Dr. Lisa Van Sutteren in studio with me. Lisa Van Sutteren is a practicing psychiatrist, has been on the show once or twice before, but never in this context where we, following a visit with by the Pope and being involved in that, kind of inspired me, and certainly she's already inspired in terms of the messages that he delivered, to share with you to see if we can be a part of you understanding from a personal standpoint, your home, your family, your finances, the messages that the Pope delivered and how they impact our pocketbooks. And I want to deal with health, for instance, right now. We just had a guy charged tripled, what was the number, 200 times the cost of medicine because he could make more money, because, there was a demand for it. I'm suffering with asthma. It's hard to believe, but I do have it. And I've denied to the doctor. He says, well, you can deny it all you want, Paul, but you've got it. He says, and part of the reason you have it is the climate that you live in, the environment.
The pollution, air pollution.
Do we understand this as a people?
I don't think we're connecting the dots, because I think people have sometimes thought that taking action on climate will mean that it's expensive, and it's just the contrary. It's when we fix the climate and we fix air pollution that many of our costs will drop dramatically. The reasons we've had incursions in the Middle East, it's to protect our oil. Well, if we've got the sun and the wind right here, we don't need to be wandering around bad neighborhoods stirring up trouble. And let me also say that as far as our health care costs are concerned, the average American family, as a result of cleaning up after extreme weather events, Superstorm Sandy, $62 billion, Katrina, of course, Irene, never mind the loss of life. Right. But the average family spends $400 a year paying for extreme weather events. As for the health care costs from air pollution, for example, the average family that has between 10 and 20% of Americans, depending upon the ethnicity, do have asthma, and those numbers are going up like mad, spend $3,300, $3,500 a year. And let me tell you something else that is really, really dramatic, and that is that we now know that air pollution causes inflammation in the brain, and that inflammation in the brain is a factor in diseases like Alzheimer's and Parkinson's disease. That air pollution comes from burning coal, oil, and gas, and it comes from higher temperatures, which facilitate that change into a polluting ozone layer. So you know what our health care costs are in Alzheimer's? Over $250 billion a year. Parkinson's is, about 100 or something like that. So it's killing us, and we don't even need to do that. We upstream solutions will have downstream health.
Amazing. Amazing. And again, my question, do Americans connect the dots on this?
We don't. And one of the issues is that we do work in silos still. So the doctors are writing their academic papers, and it's not getting into the popular press. And scientists are not great at talking to the public. That's a real problem. Scientists tend to not dramatize, so their voices are flat. They look at their shoes when they're talking. And that doesn't get people to realize there's a problem. And the other issue is that many people think, oh, we don't want to get people sad, so we'll just try to rosy over this and do a Pollyanna. And then people think there's not a problem. It's a very well-defined two-step process when you want to talk to people about taking action. First, you lay out the problem in no uncertain terms that we're going to you-know-what in a handbasket. But there are solutions if we now act with dispatch. So set it up and say, but here's what we can do about it. That's what gets people going.
Do you think, is it your sense or your feeling that maybe the visit and the words of the Pope?
This is exactly what's going to animate the message, precisely, because he is the figure. We've got the science. We already know that. The scientists have done their work. The environmentalists have been talking about policy forever and ever. What we were missing was the galvanizing moral message, so that people could hear it in their hearts, not just in an analytic way, but that's where the persuasion and the sustained interest in taking action comes. When you believe it in your heart. And that's what he did for us.
And a critic would say to you, well, okay, maybe, but he asked that we not execute the woman down in Georgia. He sent a letter, and the officials down there, Pope's letter or no, went ahead and did that. Did they not hear him?
Well, an individual basis is something which we can always follow up on, but the overarching message is what you look at, and that is that people have heard climate, moral, and a goodness radiating his objectivity right there in the center of Washington, D.C. You hear that over and over again in the press, here on the radio today. That's the message that gets out.
What is, we must be starving for something.
We really really, really are. And you're talking to someone who's not a religious person. I was born, raised a Catholic. My husband's Jewish. But I recognize that increasingly the sense of a missing spirit, a sense of spirituality, a sense of revering nature and life. I've been very technologically oriented. God, I love all the gadgets. But the reality is that it is leaving us sometimes feeling empty. And I think that what he says and what he does when he comes here, he reminds us that there's something beyond our gadgets, something beyond the material world, and that's the force of life and nature.
I want to talk about the gadgets because the technology has changed. I mean, our lifestyle has changed. It used to be when you went to the office, you worked with your office mates. When you go to the office now, you open up your machine and you may never even speak to a person.
Stare at a screen.
What impact does that have on us, Dr. Lisa?
A lot.
When I come back, we'll find out from you what's going on in terms of our interaction in the workplace. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry.
We want you to be part of the show. Email us with your financial questions. Ask about the Defense Credit Union Council. Tell us what topics you want to hear about. Or just let us know what's on your mind. We'll give you the address in a few minutes. But now, more of Home and Family Finance with Paul Berry.
My special guest, Dr. Lisa Van Susteren, a practicing psychiatrist here in the area, city of Washington, D.C., where we broadcast from. And the name sounds familiar to you. Yes, she is directly related to another Van Susteren named Greta Van Susteren, who is on the Fox Channel, I think, or CNN. I'm not quite really sure which one she is, but you know her, don't you?
I have spent some time with her, yeah. That's correct.
Now, who's the older sister? You or
I'm the older sister. I'm the one in charge.
I love it. All right. Well, you know what? One day we'll get you guys together. That would be very interesting to have you both talk about that. But as I said to you folks in our own right, you so many folks do know Lisa Van Susteren and probably don't make that connection. The connection I want to make right now is the change. You know what? You can now work from your house. You can now do what they call telecommuting, I think is the name of it, that where you do your work from home. You don't even have to go into the office.
You can sit in your pajamas if you want.
That's exactly right. Or you can go into the office, pull out, go into your little nook
windowless
or
window cubicle,
area, pull your computer up, and you never even have to speak to another person.
Right.
That has to have some...
It's very alienating. And I have to tell you, Paul, I see people coming in every day to my office. This is a new group of people. In the old days, you know, people come in that have major depression, obsessive compulsive disorder, and phobias and everything else. They're coming in now just feeling vaguely shattered. They're anxious. They feel empty. They don't know what's wrong. And I start to ask them. They sit there from, you know, day in and day out, in front of a screen, not interacting with people. They don't have any daylight. By the time they get out, it's dark. And they're really feeling as if they're empty. And the purpose that they thought they had, why they went to school and all the rest, it's just very blurred in their mind. And they're asking me for help. And, of course, I recognize that as wonderful as all these gadgets have been and technology has been, that we have forgotten that we need to see green. We evolve to see green. We evolve to look outside and to see the sunlight,
yes,
to be with others. We're a sociable animal.
We want to be with
each
other.
We do, and we are working counter to the way we were evolved to be.
What's the remedy? Is it?
Well, these patients often come in and they just say, can you give me a pill? And of course, I'm thinking, well, this is part of the problem, is that we do just want to treat symptoms instead of the core problem. The core problem is that we have forgotten what really gives us a sense of meaning and purpose.
I look into the face of, I got to tell you, I watched the tube. I was downtown with you that wonderful day that the Pope spoke to the folks on Capitol Hill. And I looked into the faces of these people that were there. And there was a sense of hope, of need. There was the need in the faces, young people, some. They were looking for something. And the hope was that they were going to find it that morning on the mall, and I think they may have found a sense of whatever the
connection. The word is connection, and you can't connect with a screen, you can't connect with a keyboard. You connect with people, and in the old days, we used to be playing cards or bridge or whatever it was, sitting on the front porch, connecting with people, and that's what gives us a sense of connection, kinship, and reverence for life. Technology is fun. But it doesn't do that for us.
I said to somebody down there, I said, well, are you Catholic? They said, no. I said, what religion are you? They said, I don't go to church. I said, you'd never go to church? No. I said, but yet you're here. Why? I'm looking for something. I like this guy. Whatever that is you're talking about that we as humans need. Many people seem to see it in Pope Francis.
They do. We can see that we can put aside our differences. And that was what was essential about this event on the Mall. We had people from every religion. We had Black Lives Matter up there with youth evangelical climate activists saying 100% clean energy. And that sense of putting aside differences to work for common purpose is such an uplifting experience. We've seen the people together with sandbags when there's a rising river. We're all there together working hard to help each other. Yeah. And that's what gives us a sense of kinship and a sense of reward. And that's what we're looking for.
And one person said to me, he said, you know, I don't go to church. He says, but I'll tell you something. He says, God is earth. Earth is God. And I looked at him and I said, what do you mean? He says, the earth. This is God.
Yes, this is connecting with life. Amazing. And this is what gives us, again, this sense of reward. And there really is a reward center in the brain that does kick off dopamine, it's called. There's oxytocin, which is the bonding hormone. Dopamine is the pleasure hormone. We know that these experiences kick that off. So it's not imagined. It's real.
And if you're missing that and haven't had it, you'll look for it anywhere you can find it. And in this case, they were there on the mall.
And the temporary fix comes from the technology. The enduring connection comes from being with people who with shared purpose.
You know, it reminds me, too, some of the parents out listening with their kids out there, this new heroin is, who would have thought it would be back like it is? But again, I think it's about young people looking for something. They're not going to find it in a needle, but they think they will.
Well, because this is a sign of the sense of emptiness, the disconnectedness. And, of course, this age group is texting each other. They don't call each other. They don't meet any – well, they do.
I know what you mean.
There's a disproportionate amount of disembodied communication. And that doesn't work. That's not the way we were evolved. You might as well be in prison talking to somebody on the outside of the wall.
I have three children. Right now, if I want to reach out to them, they will text me. They don't answer a call, but they will respond to a text.
Try leaving a voicemail.
It's amazing.
They won't. This is a different era, and this is how they interact with each other. Now, the pendulum will swing, because what we'll do is the studies will start showing how bad it is for you not to be seeing eye to eye, to feel the chemistry and the body language and all the things that are kind of can't be even described, but that you feel. But what happens is in this disconnected technological world, you don't feel the way you do when you're in the room with a person. And we all know that. That's common sense. But that leaves a missing piece in our spirit.
It does, and we need to fill that. I mean, we have to fill it.
Well, fill it or show up in my office asking for a pill is what it amounts to. And, of course, that's not a solution.
Dr. Lisa Van Susteren, practicing psychiatrist, is my guest here as we talk in the aftermath of Pope Francis's visit, what it means, what it will mean. And when we come back, we'll ask her to kind of wrap things up in her head as to where we should be doing and where we're going. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. Listening to Home and Family Finance. I'm your host, Paul Berry. My special guest is Dr. Lisa Van Susteren, a practicing psychiatrist here in the greater Washington, D.C. area, talking to you about her impressions from watching and listening to Pope Francis, the message that he delivered, which coincides with the world that she sees in terms of what we need to do and how we need to change things. And I think he gets that same message. I mean, you practice medicine, he practices religion, but on a human being, it has much the same impact. It's about what your needs are, what you believe in, and where you think we're headed collectively. He seems to hit that point. You find that. And so then it gets down to ultimately the world we live in and how we treat the world and how it impacts our job, how it impacts our lives, how it impacts our financial well-being. It's all interrelated.
Yes, and I think you can make the point that if people are respectful of the earth, they're going to be more respectful of each other. We are getting straying from the fact that we have to respect life, that we revere nature, that it's a collective attitude about how we feel about each other and the respect that we have for each other. And I think that that's what he especially brought to us, and reviving that notion and raising our consciousness about the fact that we have strayed from that in this very highly technological world that stays in places where we don't even sometimes see nature from one end of the day to the other.
Very, very interesting, too, in that... you know, that we something's missing. I mean, and that's the point. Everywhere, whether it was New York, Washington, or Philadelphia, in the faces of the people, there was that look for something that, you know.
Well, and he has identified that a lot of what we are focused on is profit and profit alone. Now, there's nothing wrong with profit. There's great business out there, but it's profit that benefits people, not profit that benefits individual guys that are potentially hurting the planet and putting profit ahead of the public welfare and the planet. And so this is the reality, is that we have all these new jobs that can come from 100% clean energy. We've got 600,000 jobs in the wind power alone in 2013. Those numbers are going to skyrocket as we transition to clean energy. We know there was a speech given by a very famous environmentalist addressing people in Illinois, Iowa, and Wisconsin, and there are 1,000 startup environmental groups with 30,000 clean energy jobs. So we know that this is the place for people to benefit, not just a few, but for everyone to benefit. And that's the message, putting people and the planet above individual profits so we all benefit.
And I watched this happened, and then that following, there was Putin and Obama, President Obama, and President and Putin. Two men that obviously don't like each other. You can see that.
Body language. And that's what the
So point. My question to you is, can two people who don't like, can anything good come from two people that really don't like each other?
Absolutely. And this is the whole point, is that we can put aside our differences. And it's an opportunity now that we have a planet that is in peril. That's all the scientists say that. Mm-hmm. And we have a planet in peril. This is an amazing opportunity for us to put aside our differences, to work collectively, to find and make solutions so that we're safe and so that our children are safe.
Will we do it? Does human nature suggest to you that we will do that?
Yes, of course. Here's the only issue, and this is, I don't want to be Debbie Downer, but the question is, will we do it in time? We're going to do it. We're making the transition now. The logjam, certainly here in the U.S., is on Capitol Hill. But we need all Americans to go in 2016 to look at their candidates, say, who's working for clean energy? And you ask your candidate, and if that person isn't, move on to the next one. It doesn't matter what their affiliation is. But we can do this, but we need to move very quickly.
So people, if you say, what difference do I make, let your vote determine the difference.
Let your vote determine. And, of course, you can do things at home and at work and every place else. But the upstream logjam, we know that some people are not there for one reason or another. Their vested interest is to not change. But it's like investing in typewriters or rotary phones. We got the whole world in front of us, a new world of renewable, clean, renewable energy. Let's go for it.
It is so refreshing. refreshing to have you on the program. Dr. Lisa Van Susteren, practicing psychiatrist, talking about this planet that we all share and how to make it a better place for all of us to live. Thank you, Dr. Lisa, for being with us.
Just a delight to be here. Thank you.
It is absolutely my pleasure. I hope you've gained something, some perspective. You don't have to agree with everything, but at least think about things and say, what am I going to do? How am I going to make a difference? And one way you can make a difference is by choosing the right person when you vote. Vote. Hope to see you next week. I'll be here, will you? I hope so. This is Home and Family Finance. I'm Paul Berry. Have a good day.